there was a lot to change and a lot to work in. And these rules really fall into four categories. The first is to create a rule where none had previously existed. For instance, we've always had the authority to rulemake, but we don't have any procedures for it. So now there are some procedures. The second area, certainly in 34 years, the law has changed. So some of the regulations will address the change in the law. The third area really is a codification of regulations and unchanged principles of law. And although the law hasn't changed, for the first time we've actually put all the principles in one area. And the fourth area is just kind of good old-fashioned case processing. We're looking at suspension of cases going up from 30 days to up to 60 days. So roughly speaking, you'll see them all fall together in those areas. Now, a little bit about how we got to where we are today. This really all started as a result of comments that the board members received during our initial outreach to our stakeholders beginning in early 2010, I think. Whether we were meeting with agency representatives or union leaders or advocacy groups or the private bar, a number of common concerns were raised about our practice. So internally, we began a meeting about probably 18 months, 2 years ago to discuss what changes were good, what changes were required. And those changes were initially circulated with our stakeholders, many of whom submitted comments, both in writing and also orally. And a copy of those initial comments, along with a transcript of that meeting, are currently on our website. Now, as a result, the proposed rule that we issued in June was really quite comprehensive in nature and incorporated a lot of these suggestions.
So 33 years since you guys have really taken a good hard look at these rules, how much has changed in that time from a case law standpoint, from a way you process the typical cases?
I'll give you one example of a substantive change in the law, and that's back in, I think it was 1994, Congress changed the election of remedies for an employee who believed they have suffered a prohibited personnel practice. And they added a third election of remedy, and that is to go to the Office of Special Counsel. That really wasn't reflected in our rules. And as a result of that change in the law, a number of other things occurred. So that's one example. The other area I talked about really was that codification. While the law is changing, certain concepts are emerging that are traditionally kind of timeless. And that's, you'll see that in our petitions for review, where we actually list the criteria for review all in one place, along with the standards of review that we're going to be using all in one place. And what you would see in the past is those standards scattered through, you know, our reporters over the last 30 years. For the first time, it's going to be in one place.
During the past three decades, have you guys kind of updated on piecemeal basis? So things are not the same as they were 33 years ago, or were they just kind of put into practice but not necessarily as a rule or as a strict adherence to a policy?
During the past 33, 34 years, we have tweaked certain rules, and some of them have tweaked back. But during that time, nobody's ever looked at the whole regulation in terms of consistency, workability, viability, and fairness. And certainly we haven't had the in-depth commentary from the stakeholders. And when I talk about stakeholders, I'm talking about the people who routinely use these rules to practice.
Let's talk about some of those changes. You went through the four areas, I think, pretty succinctly. Where do you see the biggest changes? What's going to impact either MSPB or impact the federal employees the most? Or maybe they're two different things.
They're two different things, really. The impact is really in the process. It should be easier, streamlined, more transparent, if you will. There have been a number of changes. Some of them are relatively routine, and I'm talking about from the proposed rule to the final rule. Some of them have, the comments requested more definitions, such as in the area of defining a grievance to include a complaint filed under a collective bargaining agreement. One of the commenters suggested further clarification, such as in the area of cases that are accepted into our mediation program. That doesn't count against suspension time. And some of them are fairly significant. Let me share with you the big one. And that has to do with the burden and degree of proof for establishing board jurisdiction. Now, our age-old rule provides that appellants bear that burden by preponderant evidence, which for us means more likely than not. This original rule, which has really been in place for the decades we've been talking about, is in conflict with a good deal of our case law, providing that some elements of a claim can be made through what we call non-frivolous allegations. In other words, notice pleading. You don't have to put on any evidence until you get to a hearing. So back in June, we proposed a rule saying just that. that the burden of proof would vary depending on the type of jurisdiction that the appellant was seeking. And as a result, we received lots of comments, some looking for more guidance, some criticizing our approach. And after reviewing all these comments, a good number of which we really agreed with them, we have actually withdrawn that rule. And instead, we are committing to revisiting this area in detail in the spring. So perhaps this is just the beginning.
People are going to scratch their head and say, you're doing this major review, get a major piece of it is being left out and being pushed off for a couple more months. What was the reason? Was this just too big and required maybe more discussion than maybe you, why hold up a lot of the other pieces for this one piece when you can maybe do this piece down the road?
The big issue why is because the comments went beyond the scope of the rule we proposed. So if we had adopted any of those comments, as good as they may have been, we would have been going beyond what we originally proposed, which doesn't really allow for that level of dialogue, debate, and transparency we were looking for in this process.
Is this going to be now another year process to deal with this issue, or do you hope maybe to begin the process in spring and get it done by, you know, the fall?
That sure is the goal. We have enough comments from this last proposal period, along with some of our own internal work, that we should be able to propose something relatively quickly. And, you know, it'll go through the same proposed rulemaking process. The next time we revisit this world, it will be in a far more concise fashion.